You're listening to the Otherworldly Oracle official podcast, a Burning Hallows production. We are your hosts, Alora Rain and
Kitty Fields.
If you enjoy being here with us, please remember to rate and review us on your podcast app. It gives us more visibility so that witches can find us. Don't forget to visit my website for tarot readings, custom candles, and soul origin profiles at www.alorarain.com. You can support our podcasts and creative projects by joining our Patreon at patreon.com/burninghallows, where you'll receive access to bloopers, grimoire pages, minisodes, and much more. And shout out time, we'd like to welcome Lil Shan to the BHP fam. Woo woo!
Welcome.
And now, on to the show.
When most people think of tarot, they think of divination and fortune telling. But tarot is far more than a system of divination. It is a deck of cards which maps out and crosses the vast spectrum of the whole of the human experience. Did you know you can even use the archetypes of the tarot in your witchcraft practice? Join us in today's episode as we chat about using the major arcana as a means to venerate the gods and goddesses we work with in our daily practice.
Hello.
Yo.
I'm excited about this one. This is my wheelhouse.
Definitely.
So do you use the tarot in your daily practice outside of divination?
No.
Okay.
That's the short and sweet answer.
That's usually the standard answer, but we're going to explore using it for other means other than divination.
So this Correct. Should be fun. I'm more of a rune and omen person, but yes, this should be fun.
Okay, so the tarot is a deck of 78 cards divided into major and minor arcana. For our episode today, we're working with just the major arcana, and the major arcana is a group of 22 cards that are lessons that are universally experienced among human beings. And in readings, they're stop signs to a particular lesson that you need to learn. However, today we're going to explore them as archetypes.
Love it.
So this is going to be fun. Okay. So we're going to go into the major arcana. Would you like to start?
Sure, I can start.
Okay.
All right, stop number one, card number one, but it's actually number zero, is the Fool. The Fool is representative of the acolyte and the initiate. He is, or she, or whoever, is youthful, energetic, vibrant, ambitious, and also very active. So these are all qualities that this archetype, the Fool, possesses. This card appears when we're required to take a leap of faith and approach life with childlike wonder and excitement without pressure or anxiety. It's also associated with the court jester and the planet Uranus, thus representing trickster archetype as well. And so with this specific archetype, if you're wanting to use it in your practice to honor specific deities, you might think of gods like Dionysus, Bacchus, Loki, of course, Hermes, Cocopelli, Anansi, Elegua, Eris, Artemis, Lu, Velay, Ganesha, and basically any other trickster or deity that represents the initiate.
Exactly. And for this episode, we're kind of going on the Fool's journey. So just follow along, like just roll with it.
Yeah, I'm very excited about it, actually.
Okay. So stop number one on the Fool's journey and card number one is the Magician. So the Magician represents our ability to utilize all of our resources in order to manifest our goals and dreams. Everybody has a distinct skill set that makes them unique to everybody else. So the Magician is here to teach you what your unique skill set is and how to harness that to manifest your goals and desires. The Magician is associated with the planet Mercury and relates to deities who are known for their intelligence, communication, and sage advice. These deities are some of our favorites in the tarot-based pantheon for obvious reasons. So deities that can be venerated with the Magician card would be Thoth, Isis, Hermes, Odin, Asclepius. I don't know why, but I love that word. Like, it's just so...
It is a nice word.
You know what I mean? Like...
Oh, yeah. It's kind of... It's just... It rolls off the... I don't know. It has a nice ring to it. Yeah.
Right? Okay. Papa Legba, Hygieia, Circe, Air, Heka. Not Hecate, Heka, which is Egyptian. Mm-hmm. And Pan.
And can I just say that if I had to pick a tarot card that's sexy, I feel like it's the Magician to me personally.
I'd go with the High Priestess.
Correct. I'm thinking, you know, more on the masculine side. But yes, the High Priestess is a hot one too.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, in modern tarot decks, the Magician is often depicted by... like Dumbledore or Gandalf or alchemists as well. So yeah.
I like older men. What can I say?
And if you're wondering how you can venerate deities, you know, this is for people who, and I'm going to say this. So if you're the type of person that wants statuary on your altar or thinks that that's really great, where you want to venerate your deities with a pictorial depiction, this is a really nice and budget-friendly way to do it because you can essentially either frame these cards in a picture frame and set them on your altar, or you can even take a particular tarot card to a copy shop and you can make a larger print of a particular tarot card to represent a particular deity and set it on your altar. And this is really great too when you work with multiple deities or you don't work with a particular deity for very long. They, you know, your deities come and go a lot. So this is a really great idea for venerating deities in a budget-friendly way.
Yeah, I love that idea.
Okay. Do you want to take us to the High Priestess?
Sure. So our third stop, but number two is the High Priestess. The High Priestess represents, above all else, listening to our inner voice. This is a card and an archetype of intuition and feminine energy. When the High Priestess appears, it's a sign that you need to turn inward for answers rather than seeking validation outside of yourself. The High Priestess is also associated with the moon, magic, divination, dreams, death, and the occult. And it's representative of the seer or priestess archetype. So we have deities like Hecate, Circe, Odin, the Dagda, Freya, Diana, Breed, Selene, Artemis, Ganesha, Cleona, Tsukiyomi, Hygieia, and any other deity or spirit associated with the seer or priestess archetype.
Nice.
Right on.
All right. Stop number four, but actually number three on our list is the Empress. Mm-hmm. So the Empress represents creation in all of its forms. She is pregnable with creativity, energy, wealth, abundance, beauty, and life itself. She is a gentle and nurturing presence and presents herself when there are laborious tasks to reap benefits from her fertility. This card usually appears when you have an idea for a project or you have just planted a field or are in the process of even growing a human being. And the Empress is associated with Venus and represents the ultimate mother archetype. So deities that can be venerated with the Empress include Demeter, the Virgin Mary, Shakti, Rhea, Gaia, Ceres, Lady Guadalupe, Durga, Parvati, Freya, and any other deities associated with the mother archetype.
Yes, ma'am. Which leads us to the Emperor, number four. The Emperor represents power, leadership, and authority. He provides structure, security, and support to accomplish your goals. When this card appears, it's a sign to sink into our own wellspring of power and take control over our existence. I like that. He is the catalyst for change. The Emperor is associated with the astrological sign of Aries and its ruler, Mars. He is associated with the regal power and authority, kingly archetype. So deities in alignment with the Emperor card might include Aries, Mars, Tyr, Zeus, Thor, Indra, Osiris, Ra, the Morrigan, Athena, Sekhmet, Queen Maeve, Maka, Durga, and any other deities who fit that kingly type role.
Hmm. And didn't you say something about Maka?
Mm-hmm. What about her?
No, I just thought you were working with her.
Well, so there's a whole thing about the Morrigan and specifically Maka being an aspect of the Morrigan and how the Morrigan is often thought of and depicted solely for her, you know, bloodthirsty battle side.
Mm.
But just like any other goddess that's kind of lumped into one category, there's a lot more to the Morrigan, including a more motherly role, mostly associated with Maka, but it could be any of the aspects of the Morrigan. So that's kind of what I was talking about. If you saw my post probably on Facebook.
Well, I was just thinking too, like perhaps the catalyst for change aspect.
Oh, for sure. Okay. Yeah. Cause the shape shifting, that's what you're talking about. My bad. I went off on a totally different tangent there. But it's kind of important too, because I was thinking with the Empress and that motherly role, you could actually include Maka and or the Morrigan there as well.
Well, any, you know, with the Empress too, any triple deity, because they have the mother aspect, right? So.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. So next stop, we're going to go to the Hierophant, card number five in the major arcana. The Hierophant represents tradition. Institutions, spiritual legacies, and profound wisdom are all calling cards of the Hierophant. Oftentimes when the card appears, it is asking that we examine our own traditions to see if they align with the path that we are walking. And if not, we need to create traditions and institutions that fit who we are at an authentic soul level. The Hierophant is associated with the sign of Taurus, the planet Venus, and is representative of deities that preside over great wisdom and piety, right? So deities that can be venerated with the Hierophant include Odin, Athena, Isis, Hera, Frigg, Sishat, Thoth, Ogma, or any other deity that represents pious wisdom.
Mm. All right. We're going to the lovers, people.
The lovers.
So number six, the lovers card and archetype represents decision-making.
Mm-hmm.
Which is interesting because most people, I think you said this before, most people think of the lovers specifically just referring to romantic love and relationships.
Right. Exactly. But it's much more than that.
Yeah. So obviously relationships are included, but relationships, values, symbiotic connection, harmony, and consequences are all heralded by the lovers. When this card appears, it's a sign that the seeker has come to a crossroads and must make a decision. And may I throw in here that the rune to go along with this would be Gabo, which is actually an X. So that's kind of interesting. Think of crossroads, right? Making a decision. Gabo is also the card of union. So anyway, though this card is called the Lovers, in Alora's experience, it only represents relationships half of the time.
Yep.
The other 50% of the time, the card requires action to create a change. The Lovers is associated with the astrological sign of Gemini and its ruling planet Mercury. And deities that you can represent from this card or use this card to work with include Eros, Aphrodite, Anya, Bastet, Inanna, Pan, Breed, Ishtar, Cronunnos, Freyr, Albina, Venus, Hathor, Bronwyn, and Hades and Persephone.
Yeah, and I just want to add something real quick. Most Lovers cards, I mean, well, at least in the Rider-Waite-Smith vein, if they're trying to relate to the traditional depiction, they will have three individuals in the card, not just two. So that's where I think, you know, you hear the name The Lovers, so that's what you think of. But when you actually look at the card, it's not just two people, it's three.
Interesting.
And this card does and has, like, I have literally had this card come up when someone has been cheating on their spouse. So,
And you
know what? It was super fun because the man that I was reading for was a skeptic.
Oh.
Until that. And then he was like, and I was like, ooh. I told ya.
Oy, oy, yikes.
He left a believer.
Yeah. And was he also frightened or?
I think he was a little weirded out. Yeah. Because he was totally like, nah, yeah. Like I've just come in here because this will be good fun, but I don't believe in this blah, blah, blah. And then that happened and he was like, okay.
Wow.
Tarot. Oh yeah. And I totally warned him too. I was like, okay, well, if you have secrets, just know that they're going to come out.
Yeah. It can definitely be brutal.
Okay.
All right.
The next stop we're going to is the Chariot.
So,
number seven.
Yes.
Yep. Chariot represents straddling the boundaries of the inner and outer worlds to find answers. When this card comes up in divination, we are being asked to decide between two paths using our intuition and knowledge, as well as our resources. The Chariot is associated with the astrological sign of Cancer and its ruler, the Moon. And deities that represent the archetype of the traveler or journeyman are associated with this card. Okay, so deities that can be venerated by the Chariot include Helios, Apollo, Poseidon, Shiva, Nike, Astarte, Durga, Odin, Hermes, Bastet, Sobek, Set, Rhiannon, and any other deity with the archetype of the traveler.
I like that.
It's also, the Chariot is another good one to have up if you are particularly a hedge witch. Because you're drawing that makes in sense. That energy of like the physical world and the spiritual world in tandem.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I like that. Or the rune Rytho. I'm like adding my own little runic studies in here.
The Chariot is brought to you by the number seven and the rune.
Rytho. Yeah.
There you go.
That's funny. Sesame Street.
Oh, gosh.
Otherworldly Street. Okay. I don't know. All right. Number eight, Strength. This is a good card. Above all, the Strength card and archetype represents our individual fortitude. It is our ability to withstand whatever may come our way without engaging in a downward spiral. When this card appears, it's a signal that the issue at hand can be overcome if we tap into our internal reservoir of courage and bravery. Strength is associated with the astrological sign of Leo and its ruling planet, the sun. Its archetypal association is that of the underdog. So with this archetype, we have deities like Hercules, David, as in the biblical David and Goliath, Kratos, Kuan Yin, Thor, Danu, Hestia, Sekhmet, Sobek, Lu, the Dagda, and any other deity that you might associate with the archetype of the underdog.
All right. The next stop is card number 9, the Hermit. This is one of my favorite cards, and I think everybody will see why. So the Hermit is a symbol of wisdom gained in solitude. It offers a great lesson that being left to our own thoughts and devices can be one of our greatest tools to engage in shadow work and study for the goal of achieving a growth through a self-reset. The Hermit is associated with the astrological sign of Virgo and its ruling planet Mercury. It is the archetype of the shadow worker or the solitary sage, right? And even if you are not a Virgo and you don't have anything to do with the planet Mercury, I feel like all solitary witches can relate to the Hermit.
100%.
Deities that can be venerated by the Hermit include Mimir, Brahma, Nabu, Persephone, Hades, Caradwyn, Nematona, Thoth, the Muses, and any other deity that fits the shadow worker / solitary sage archetype.
Kleana and also Baba Yaga would be there good ones probably too.
Yeah, and just for those of you who are listening, this is definitely in no way a complete list of deities for each of the cards. It's just like a handful to give examples.
I just like to add because it excites me.
Oh, no, you can definitely add. I just wanted to make it clear that like this is in no way a complete list. So feel free.
Yeah, man, make it your own, you know?
Right.
All right. Number 10, Wheel of Fortune. So the wheel. I'd like to buy a vowel. I'd like to buy a rune for 500, please. So the Wheel of Fortune card, it's a symbol of fate, if nobody figured that out already. At any point in time, we can experience highs and lows in life. When the wheel turns up, often it's a shift in luck due to fate. It is a symbol of constant change and temporary circumstances. The Wheel of Fortune is represented by the planet Jupiter, which makes a lot of sense, and is the gambler / dealer of fate archetype. So with the deities here, we have the Fates, Fortuna, Astarte, Jupiter, Zeus, Vishnu, Lakshmi, Tyche, Maat, Aryanrod, and any other deity representative of the dealer of fate or gambler archetype.
Nice.
Yeah. I kind of like this card in a way.
I like it when it's up.
Right.
Not so much when it's down.
When it's up. Yeah. When it's reversed.
But even in its reversal, right, it's not super negative because there is always that this is temporary, you know, it's not
absolutely
permanent.
It's a wheel. It keeps on turning, baby.
Right.
All right.
Okay. So the next stop is card number 11, Justice. So justice can be best summed up by the phrase, every action has an equal and opposite reaction. When this card comes up, it's often a sign that it's time to pay the Pied Piper, whether positive or negative. What you put out in the world comes back to you in some way, shape, or form. Which way it comes back is determined by an individual's previous actions and intentions. Justice is represented by the astrological sign of Libra and its ruling planet Venus. It is the archetype of the judge, jury, and executioner. Deities that can be venerated by the justice card include Maat, Anubis, Nemesis, the Morrigan, Kali, Dyke, Zeus, and any other deity associated with the judge, jury, executioner archetype.
Could be considered a little bit of a scarier archetype in some ways.
Yeah. And I will also say too, just to add to the Justice card, there's also a sense of coming to a crossroads as well. There and deciding what route you're going to go as far as your actions are concerned.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You could even put Hecate there.
Absolutely.
All right, tell us about the Hanged Man.
Okay, number 12, the Hanged Man is the ultimate card of sacred sacrifice. We must give of ourselves in order to receive what it is we are seeking. Sometimes that means choosing to let go of certain people or habits or occupations even in order to gain something in return. The Hanged Man is represented by Neptune and the archetype of the martyr. Deity associations can also be literal to gods and goddesses who made great personal sacrifices in order to gain wisdom, knowledge, love, etc. Obviously, there's a big one here, and he is
Odin.
Yeah, exactly. And I think you've even mentioned in past podcasts that you've used this card specifically to honor Odin or work with him before.
Yes, I actually have this card framed on my altar right now.
Oh, very nice.
Yes, because I have a deck called the Wizard's Tarot. It's out of print now, but I really love the depiction of, because they used Odin in that deck. And they literally have him sitting in a classroom. He's got an eye patch over one eye, and the window pane is made of runes, and he's studying.
Oh, that is cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. So I definitely was like, yes, this is awesome. So I'm going to frame it.
Very nice. In addition to Odin, other deities might include Rhiannon, Demeter.
He sacrificed herself. Hold on.
Go ahead. Go back.
The Rhiannon sacrificed herself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Next one.
Yep. Demeter.
Sacrificed her daughter.
Mm-hmm. Persephone.
Sacrificed her mother. Do you see a pattern?
Yeah.
Okay. Continue.
We have Maka.
No, I'm not going to interject anymore.
Okay. Osiris, Horus, Morpheus, Artemis, the Buddha, Jesus, obviously, Neptune, Poseidon, Green, Tara, Kuan Yin, and any other deity that's associated with the martyr archetype.
All right. And then we go from the Hanged Man to Death, card number 13. So people freak out when the Death card comes up, but Death actually doesn't represent physical death, probably, I'm going to say 98 to 99% of the time when reading tarot. But today we're talking about it as an archetype, right? So death comes quietly and begins on the inside. While many who draw this card may be hesitant, death is a natural and necessary part of life. Whether literal or figurative, death represents the transformative process that comes with the shedding of the old so that we can welcome a rebirth. It is astrologically represented by Scorpio, guaranteeing an intense experience. The intensity of transformation can be painful and scary, but death can also be liberating. It offers an organic shift that starts from within, that then becomes reflected in what we choose to manifest as a result of our transformation. Powerful, powerful card.
Scorpio fits for sure.
Right. And the deities that can be venerated with the Death card include Hel, Hecate, Hades, Kali, Meng Po, the Morrigan, Persephone, Osiris, Isis, Marzana, the Reaper, Arwen, Dawn, Belay, Santa Muerte. I cannot say that because it's an Aztec deity. Irio, and any other deity that rules the underworld or facilitates transformation.
Powerful. All right. Number 14, Temperance. Sounds like a colonial female name. Okay. Patience is a virtue that's hard to come by in our modern society of mass consumption. But when this card or archetype, temperance, appears, it's a signal to pump the brakes. Ultimately, it's about alchemizing and balancing the desires of a give and take, more and less, yes and no. And Alora finds it ironic that temperance is represented by Sagittarius, which promotes finding the perfect balance to maximize bliss. Why do you find that ironic, Alora?
I think because, how do I put this? So Sagittarius in its unevolved state is about consume, consume, consume. And I think that you can agree with that. Like when you're not in that place of balance, there is definitely a party, 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 party. I don't know how else to explain it.
Yeah, because, I could see that, I guess.
Well, Sagittarius is represented by what planet, right?
Jupiter.
Jupiter. Right. And Jupiter is a great expansion. So it's this great expansion that happens where you're just consuming and consuming and consuming and consuming and consuming. But then at some stage, I think when you hit a level of maturity in Sagittarius, that's when it turns.
Ah.
You know what I mean? I don't know.
Absolutely. Yes. 100%.
Yeah, because I feel like, look, this is a whole nother episode, but I feel like each of the zodiac signs, you've got an immature and a mature. Like there's two zodiac signs exist on a spectrum, and where you fall on that spectrum really depends on each person individually. And that's why, you know, two people can be born the same day and not be exactly alike.
Deities in alignment with temperance might include Jupiter, Vishnu, Apollo, Diana, Artemis, Breed, Hermes, Isis, Caradwen, and any other god or goddess that's representative of alchemy and balance.
Nice. All right. Next stop is card number 15, the Devil. This is another one that people kind of go,
they go, no, not the Devil.
But we all have shadows, right? So the Devil is the card that exposes and allows us to shake hands with our shadows by revealing where we play victim or where we play offender. Represented by the astrological sign of Capricorn, this card highlights our domination and oppression of self and or others through our possible addictions. These can include anything from overeating to overspending to even drug abuse. Another aspect of the Devil is allowing ourselves to indulge in what makes us feel good in the moment. Again, this can be food, money, sex, and beyond. The Devil makes you take notice of your unconscious vices. Nothing in this world is free, and you must be willing to pay the price, whether positive or negative, attached to gluttonous behaviors. Now, I am going to also add that the Devil can be really great for people who don't indulge often, right? And they need to let their hair down. Like this card comes up for that too. Yeah. So deities that can be venerated by the Devil include Loki. No surprise there. Lucifer, Lilith, Satan. I don't think there's any surprises there. Vele, Dionysus, Pan, Baba Yaga, Set, the Horned God. Again, not a surprise. Kernunos, Baphomet, the Morrigan, Acrebelts, Kediampembe. I don't know if I said that right, but that's, I believe that's a West African deity. And any other horned deity.
I kind of like that card. Okay.
I do too.
Number 16, the Tower. This is another one where everyone's like, oh my God.
Well, with good reason, I think. I think for me, so, out of the whole major arcana, the Tower is the one where I'm like, no.
Yeah. So ever hear that saying, it came crashing down on me like a ton of bricks? Yes. The Tower in tarot brings sudden and abrupt change when it deigns to make an appearance. It seeks to destroy whatever's not working in our lives down to the very foundation so that we may start again. While it can represent catastrophic events and explosive energy, the trade-off is that we get to start with a clean slate once the demolition is complete.
Yeah, right. So,
you know, silver linings, people.
Yeah.
Astrologically, the Tower is represented by Mars, the planet of war. Makes perfect sense to me.
Mm.
And again, represented, in my opinion, by the rune Hagalaz, which also brings abrupt change. Deities might include Kali, Mars, Aries, Pele, Eris, Shiva, Brazo Fuertes, or that's what, Cabo de Guerra? What is that?
Yeah, I don't. That written here. I guess it's another name for the same deity.
Oh, my bad. Okay. So Brazo Fuertes may also be known as Cabo de Guerra. Perseus, Batara Kala, Nergal, Holler, Holler, Angerboda, Loki, Fenrir, Tezcatlipoca, Shango, and any other deity that's associated with destruction.
Mm. Yes. Mm. This card tends to come up a lot when divorces are on the horizon.
Oof.
Living situations are changing. Things like big life changes.
I need to look up this Holler deity. I've never heard of this person.
Holler.
Holler.
Okay. So now that we've experienced complete destruction, the next stop on our journey is number 17, the Star. So after enduring a horrendous ending with the Tower, the Star shines light into our dark recesses to guide us along the path. One of the most welcome major arcana cards to draw, the Star is a sign of hope, optimism, divine guidance, and a lightness of being. We can also gain inspiration from our dreams and lean more on our intuition when the Star appears, knowing that we are being divinely guided. Represented by Aquarius, this card dares us to step fully into our authentic self. So deities that can be venerated by the Star include Astraeus, Astarte, Astraeos, Arvandil. I don't think I said that right, but
sounds
Arvandil.
Good.
Aaron Rood or Aaron Rod, either or. Ertzi, Nyx, Rotri, Erebus, Chandra, Inanna, and any other deity associated with the Stars and the night.
Okay. All right. The Moon, number 18. So the Star guides us further across the night sky to the greater light of the moon. When the moon appears, we are asked to explore all the things that go bump in the night, both internally and externally. In our exploration, we may be surprised to find that what we are afraid of is just an illusion.
An illusion.
An illusion. Shadows cast as a result of their illumination in the dark by the moon. So this card is represented by Pisces. The moon heralds a time of deep introspection, enhanced mysticism, and greater intuitive and empathetic ability. But be careful you don't dive so deep that you become attached to toxic patterns rather than being conscientious of them. Mm. There's always a warning.
Yes.
So deities in alignment with the moon are obviously lunar deities like Selene, Diana, Khonsu, Agni, Chandra, Artemis, Hecate, Luna, Mani, Ilargi, any triple goddess, Devana, Hors, Sukuyomi, Willix, and any other lunar deity.
Mm. Very good.
Mm. Yeah.
All right. So we've traveled underneath the moon and now we're coming into the light of day on our next stop, which is number 19, the Sun. Mm-hmm. So When the sun appears, you can bet everything is going to be coming up roses. So everything on the earth relies upon the sun for its survival, right?
Right.
Okay. The sun provides warmth and light to give sustenance for growth, and it applies to every living thing from the smallest plant to the largest apex predator. Born out of the night, we now have returned to the day, and things always look different in the light of day. Not so frightening or intimidating. Positive vibes, clarity, and healing come along when the sun decides it's time to shine upon your life. Deities that can be venerated by the sun include, we're going to go with a lot of solar deities here, Ra, Apollo, Helios. No, oh gosh, let's see if I can do this. Nanahuatzin? Inti, Surya, Amaterasu, Mithra, Aki, Anya, Breed, Etan, Maka, Lu, Soul, Horse, Electrion, Soul, and any other solar deity.
That was a mouthful.
I feel like I need to take a class in how to say all these deities' names. Like, somebody just teach me properly how to say all this.
Who would tell you that, though? Because I feel like people from different cultures say the names different ways, too, you know?
True.
So it's kind of, even when you look them up online, like, you get a YouTube video that's like, this is the right way to pronounce it. And then Google says something else. And yeah, it can be confusing.
All righty.
Yeah. In your defense.
Thanks.
Okay, number 20, judgment. So, in Egyptian mythology, Anubis awaits all who cross over to answer for their carnal deeds by weighing their heart against the weight of Maat, who is the goddess of justice, her feather. Much like justice and its ruling astrological planet Pluto, judgment comes to restore the karmic balance. However, with judgment, often you're being called to the carpet for your behavior in relation to an external circumstance rather than something internal. Ooh. This is the part where we've had a blast at the club and now it's time to settle the $500 bill with the bartender.
Oh, that's always fun. Yeah. Been there.
I'm right. When the lights come on, you're like, whoa, who is that?
Been there.
You looked a lot better in the dark. Okay, we will always have to answer for our actions, even those that are seemingly insignificant. Think about the concept of paying it forward at the local coffee shop on your morning commute to work. How many times has that come back in your favor on a different occasion when you may have needed the help? This is judgment.
Dun, dun,
I got to say it that way. Yeah. Deities include Pluto, Maat, Anubis, Hades, Persephone, Proserpina, Horus, Jesus, and any other deity associated with the final judgment.
All right. Last but not least.
Oh.
I know, we're at the end. We've come full circle.
Yeah.
Card number 21, the world. Completion. The fool has completed their journey and now is at the end, but also is at the beginning. So this is a signal that a great feat has been accomplished and great knowledge has been gained along the way. Goals have been achieved, and you can now relish in the feeling of fulfillment and wholeness. The world is vast and expansive and always whispering with its seductive voice to those who are listening. Expansion, manifestation, wisdom, and renewal to see the world through a different lens than the one we had before is the reward for making it to the top. Represented astrologically by Saturn, it signals us that order, discipline, maturity, and control have been harnessed to reap the benefits of great rewards. Deities that can be venerated by the world include Saturn, Kronos, Rhea, Kajamanu, Fainan, Geb, Vishnu, Gaia, Sif, Njord, Ceres, Nike, Tyr, Athena, and any other Saturn, I can't even say that word. Saturnian? Yeah. Deities.
Got you.
Good Lord. Mm. Oh, well, one other thing that I just wanted to touch on, right? So we've been talking about gods and goddesses from the pantheons of old that can be venerated through the tarot. But also there is something specifically used a lot in chaos magic where it's a pop culture pantheon. So this is where you pull literally from books, movies, comics, TV shows, etc., whatever, to serve as archetypes and essentially make your own pantheon, right?
Yeah.
So like, again, I said before that the magician is often represented by Gandalf the Grey from Lord of the Rings. And it's perfectly acceptable to use Gandalf the Grey if you so, like, if you choose. You know what I mean? Like, there's no, nobody says you can't.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, so if you feel called to do that, definitely. Like the tower, right? The tower can definitely be represented of Daenerys Stormborn.
Mm-hmm.
Because she literally took everything to the ground. And that's not, that's no spoilers, but like that was her goal throughout that entire series.
Yeah, true.
Right, so now that we've traveled along the path of the Fool's Journey, hopefully you guys have gained some insight into utilizing the tarot for deity work. Whether you're using ancient pantheons or you're making your own pop culture pantheon, you can see how it can be useful in your daily witch practice.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
Thank you for teaching us.
Well, thank you for helping.
Thank you all for joining us for another episode. Don't forget to grab your Book of Shadows pages on Patreon for this episode if you are a part of the Burning Hallows Patreon family. Check out the links for this episode in the info box, as well as the Otherworldly Oracle website at otherworldlyoracle.com to learn more about using the tarot to work with deities in your personal spiritual practice. Tune in again next week for another all-new episode. And remember, whether you're in the land of the Fae or the land of the ancestors, stay otherworldly.